Hey, welcome to the Napcast, your source of geekly entertainment. My name is David.
And my name is Seth, and we're going to be doing another kind of Star Wars-y thing for this episode, but before we
that's
get-
That's okay.
That's okay. We like Star Wars on this channel.
It's a great medium to talk about, isn't
it?
But before we do that, we're going to introduce a new kind of segment. We don't have a good name for it yet, so we'll come up with that. But it's basically
a work in progress. Bear with us.
Work in progress.
Yes,
it's a work in progress. But we're basically going to talk about things that we've really enjoyed or come across this past week. So, for example, songs that gave us goosebumps on our arms
or
songs we can't get out of our head. Or things we came across on Amazon or, I don't know, something like that. So, Seth, I'm going to go first. This is random, but I was looking around for companion cube-related products because I've been playing a lot of Portal recently, because why not?
Fair enough.
And I came across a set of 3D-printed Portal companion cube gaming dice. In the sense that, like, you know how there's different sizes of dice? There's D4,
like,
which is a pyramid, D6 is a cube.
Dice that you use for Dungeons & Dragons or whatnot.
Different, like, RPG games, things like that. Well, these dice were all, like, companion cubes. Like, the regular six-sided dice was literally a companion cube, except it had numbers on each side. These are 3D printed. They're metal, so they're pretty heavy.
They're metal? Wow.
Yeah, it's like a shiny... Well, you can get a bunch of different things. You can get plastic as well, but... They're metal, and if you get the metal ones, which are the best ones, it's like $200.
Yeah, I was going to say, those sounded like they'd be really expensive.
But they look so cool.
I'm sure.
So I saw that, and it was just the greatest thing. I'll never be able to afford it, but, you know.
Yeah.
So that's my weekly highlight, I guess you could call it. I don't know.
So one of the cool things that my dad actually shared this with me, it's a proof of concept 3D rendering of an electromagnetically powered car that they made in China. I guess Volkswagen had some design ideas submitted to them a while back.
Didn't they have like electromagnetic or just magnetic trains at one point?
They did. I mean, maglev trains are kind of a thing.
Okay.
They just haven't really taken that to the roadways. It was just a proof of concept because apparently in Hong Kong, the streets are have a high enough metal content that you could actually generate a strong enough electric field to power a car.
That sounds almost dangerous if you're walking on the street, though.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm sure they could figure out a good way to do
that. It looked really cool. I mean, it was only a 3D rendering of the car, but it looks really cool.
All right. Those are our highlights, I guess, of this past week.
Yeah.
Now we'll jump into the actual content. What are we doing today, Seth?
So this is an idea that we've been working on for quite a while now. So David and I both like Star Wars, as may or may not have been able to tell if you've listened to any of our episodes before. So we decided, okay, well, the heck, let's see if we can name our favorite Star Wars characters all the way through the alphabet. So what we've done is without talking with each other, at least not a lot.
Not very much.
We have each compiled a list of our favorite Star Wars characters
from A to Z. The trick is we did it by first name and we're not counting titles.
Yes.
For example, the letter F, we can't use Boba Fett, we can't use Jango Fett because that's the last name. We also can't use, you know, like Grand Admiral or Grand Moff or General or Darth or anything like that. It's got to be their first name, or if they only have one name and a title, just their one name.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through the list. We're going to compare. We haven't really compared beforehand, so this will be a surprise to both of us.
Yep.
And we're going to try to do our best to describe, to explain what the character is. Most of these are from the Legends canon, so we might not know that much about
them. Yeah, so that's our first big disclaimer, is that most of these characters are from the Legends universe.
And our second big disclaimer is there may or may not be a lot of spoilers ahead, as usual.
There will definitely be a lot of spoilers ahead, so you have been warned.
All right, and we're not going to mention that again, or we might. We'll see.
We might.
All right, I'm going to start things off, because why not? The character I have for the letter A, Admiral Ackbar. It's a trap! And that's all you need for
that. Did you pick him just because of that line?
Mostly. He's also a great admiral, and you get to see his homeworld in some of the books. The homeworld of Calamari, Mon Calamari, I believe.
Yes.
And they get to talk a lot about that, but he's just a cool character.
Yeah.
He's a great high-ranking admiral. Well, he's a great admiral, high-ranking general, I guess.
Fair enough.
In the Rebellion,
Star Wars militaries are weird.
But most of it is because it's a trap! Because why not?
Fair enough. All right, I went with a kind of a lesser known character. I went with Alana Solo.
Okay.
So Alana Solo is Han and Leia's granddaughter.
Interesting.
As of 45 ABY, which is after the Battle of Yavin, which is how all the Legends timeline
granddaughter is. On which side?
Granddaughter, what do you mean on which side?
I'm thinking, is it through Jason or Jaina?
Jason.
Jason. Okay. Wait,
Jaina,
is it Jason and Tenel Ka?
Yes.
Okay.
Again, spoilers.
Yes, I remember that very briefly, but I didn't remember that was her name.
Yes. Well, she was only named a couple years after she was actually born in universe.
Well, I mean, in universe, I'm sure she was named when she
was
born.
Yeah, it just it didn't come up in any of the novels until a couple years later, so you don't actually get to find out that's what her name was.
In the actual story, this child went without her name for 3 years. Oh, wait.
What?
All right, on to the letter B, I guess. B. That's after A, right? I know my alphabet.
Yeah, I think that's what comes after B.
I have a pretty obvious choice for this one. I went with Darth Bane, of course.
Fair enough.
Frankly, that trilogy is one of my favorites. We've talked about him before, so I don't think it requires that much explanation.
Yeah,
but
Bane,
Darth Bane, big, huge, powerful guy.
One of the founding members of the Sith Order, as
one of the
know
most
it.
Powerful Sith there have been.
Also
true. Force lightning at will and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
You know, not much is required.
Again,
there.
Read the books. You'll see what we're talking about and why we love Darth Bane so much.
And what do you have for the letter B?
So for B, I went with another character from the Old Republic era.
Okay.
I went with Bastila Shan.
Interesting choice.
Who is one of the companion characters from the Knights of the Old Republic video game.
Okay.
Also a potential love interest for a male Revan.
Interesting. Now, does the video game actually count as the Legends canon?
Yes.
I don't remember.
They haven't said one way or the other whether or not the video games are canon or Legends, so I went ahead and included it anyway.
That works. I mean, it's a Star Wars character. It shows up in a game. It's an interesting character.
Yeah, I mean, Bastila is one of my favorite Star Wars characters in general because A, she's voiced by Jennifer Hale, who's one of my favorite voice actors.
That makes sense.
Shoutouts. B, she's a very interesting character because she's one of the few Jedi that we see in Star Wars that's actually unsure of herself as a Jedi.
Like, interesting.
In an extreme way because she's quite an accomplished knight, because she has a very rare gift, the gift of the ability to perform battle meditation.
Oh, one of those characters.
Yeah. So she's kind of gotten special treatment a lot from the Jedi, and that's made her uncertain of herself because she isn't really sure whether or not she deserves that.
That makes sense.
It's a very interesting
it's such a rare
to watch.
Gift, too.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting people. To watch her story evolve over the course of Knights of the Old Republic. Especially when you throw in a romance on top of that.
Of course, which the forbidden Jedi romances of the old era. But moving on to letter C, have Darth Cognis, which is a lesser-known character.
Cognis, okay, that's
shows
an interesting choice.
At the very end of the Darth Bane trilogy, she is the new apprentice of Darth Zana, which is Darth Bane's apprentice. Darth Bane actually found Darth Cognis first, but then Cognis was there on the side while Darth Bane and Darth Zana had their fight. And Cognis has this ability kind of to see into the future and to predict events, and it's also hinted that if she gets powerful enough, maybe she can actually cause certain events to happen with her ability.
And that's reflected in her Sith name, I'm assuming, with Cognis
yes,
and precognition.
That's why she chose the name Darth Cognis. I don't remember what her actual name was before that, because it's been a while since I read the series.
I don't know if she was ever actually named in that book.
I think she just had a title, like The Seer or something.
I think
that wasn't
you're
it.
Right, but
something
I can't
like
remember
that.
What it was.
But yeah, so she shows up kind of at the end, only in book 3 if I remember, but pretty cool character, lesser known. I don't know if there's been much expanded on her beyond just Darth Bane, but there might have been a little bit.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that's who I went with.
Yeah, so for my letter C, I went with another lesser known character.
Surprise, surprise.
Who actually has a whole book devoted to him.
Ooh.
I went with Corran Horn.
Oh, the guy from the X-Wing series.
Yes,
yeah.
And he also has his own solo novel called I, Jedi. So it's the only novel in the entire Star Wars Legends canon to be written in first-person perspective.
Interesting.
Which is weird, but it works because Corran is... His background is he's an X-Wing pilot, but he's also originally from Corellia, and he worked
Which is the same planet that Han Solo is from.
Yes. He worked for Corellian Security as a detective before
Ooh.
Becoming an X-Wing pilot. So he's got this really interesting mix of, like, hotshot fighter jock meets detective meets Jedi, and it's the book itself is just fantastic because it's kind of Corran discovering who he is a little bit, and how all of those skills kind of fit together.
And even in the X-Wing series, he's such a great character.
Oh, he's such a cool character.
I was going to include him, but I couldn't because he couldn't quite match up to who I had.
Fair enough.
Moving on to the letter D, I have a pretty obvious choice for this. I have Count Dooku.
Fair enough.
The main reason behind this is because he's one of the masters of the Style 2, the second form of sword fighting or lightsaber fighting. Which is the
Makashi.
Unique Makashi style. And he's got the curved blade to reflect it. And he's also played by,
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee. I can think of Lee. I couldn't think of the first name. But that actor is just amazing in general. And his portrayal in episode 2, despite the movie like not being my favorite movie, I really like Count Dooku in the
Fair
movie.
Enough.
And episode 3 as well, of course.
See, I had a really hard time coming up with a character for D, so I also went for Dooku, but
well,
for
that
a slightly
sense.
Different reason.
Okay.
So the reason I went for Dooku is because he's sort of a tragic anti-hero character in the Star Wars, especially the prequels. Because if you look at what compelled Dooku to actually do what he did, he was a Jedi Master for like 70-something years, who eventually just became dissatisfied with the corruption in the Jedi Order and the Republic, which was actually there, so his concerns were well-founded. And so he left the Jedi Order and all that, and he actually defected to the dark side because he thought that would restore order to the galaxy.
And unfortunately, it didn't quite work.
It
brought order to the galaxy, but not in the way that he intended.
Yeah, because Palpatine was playing him the whole time. And it's actually a really sad story if you look at Dooku throughout.
Some of my favorite descriptions of Dooku show up in Matthew Stover's book, which is like episode 3, but as a book.
Oh, the novelization is
so good. But we got to move on. We can't take too long on each character, unfortunately. Nope. So on to the letter E. For the letter E, I have the Dark Lord Exar Kun, who is just an amazing all-around Sith. He shows up in a bunch of different stories. He's one of the older Sith, well before Darth Bane. He had a whole legion of followers after him. I don't remember if his apprentice was Nagasato or if it was the other way around.
The other way around.
Okay, but Exar Kun also shows up in like the Jedi Academy trilogy,
which takes place some like 4,500 years later.
Well, it wasn't him. It was like his spirit who was like still haunting one of the old temples
because
or something.
Because Exar Kun built the temples on Yavin 4 that the rebels used as a base and was later used as the base of operations for the Jedi Academy.
So Exar Kun
was a great idea.
Yeah, for some reason. But then he shows up as kind of a main antagonist in the trilogy.
Yay!
He corrupts a couple of the students. And
I mean, boo!
And then, yeah, so then what do you have for letter E?
So the one I picked for letter E is not a very well-known character at all.
Okay,
I went with
again.
Etane Termukin.
Ooh, what an interesting choice.
She appears in all of the Republic Commando novels written by Karen Travis. So she's kind of a minor Jedi that we really don't see a lot of. But she's really interesting because she actually starts to take an interest in the well-being of her clone troopers that are serving under her.
Okay.
And then she eventually ends up marrying one of them and being kind of adopted into this family of Mandalorians because
interesting.
Their commander was a template for one of the clones or for the training of some of the advanced clones.
Okay.
And she's a really interesting character. And then she dies.
Oh,
because
I hate it when that
Order
happens.
66 is a bear.
I was going to ask if she survived Order 66
but she did not.
Oh,
her son, however, does. And he shows up actually later in the New Jedi Order era, which is really cool to see that connection.
Interesting. Speaking of Order 66, my next character shows up in the book Dark Lord, The Rise of Darth Vader, which is all about Darth Vader and then some of the Jedi that survived Order 66 because of the troopers not acting correctly.
Ooh.
But this particular character, his name is Fang Zar.
Fang Zar.
Yes, which starts with the letter F, which is one of the few people I could actually find whose first name starts with the letter F.
Yeah, it's surprising how many characters in Star Wars have names that begin with the same letter.
Unfortunately, it's not very common that they start with F.
True.
But Fang Zar is the senator who defected, and he's hiding, and he's finding whatever the proper term is. It's like safety.
Diplomatic immunity? Or sanctuary.
Sanctuary. There's the word I'm after. He was finding sanctuary on Alderaan, but then Darth Vader comes in and basically kills him by throwing his lightsaber at him.
Yeah,
and
wait,
the whole
boo.
Scene. Boo. But it's Darth Vader, so yeah.
Because
you're actually kind of rooting for Darth Vader throughout the whole book.
He's almost a secondary protagonist in that book,
even
which
though
is really weird.
He's actually the antagonist, and there's other protagonists, but you root for Darth Vader because he's so cool. So yeah, it's a very confused yay. Something like that. So I went with Fang Zar because he's a cool character in there, even though he also dies pretty quickly.
So interestingly enough that you picked a character with strong ties to Darth Vader, because I did the same thing for the letter
F. Who did you
F.
end up picking?
So the character that I picked for F is Ferris Olin.
Oh, who, interesting.
Ferris Olin is in the Jedi Quest series.
Okay.
It's a series of young adult Star Wars novels that cover the time gap between episodes 1 and 2, with Obi-Wan and Anakin being master and apprentice at that point.
Right.
So Ferris is actually Anakin's rival when he's a Padawan, and they kind of butt heads a lot.
Okay.
And then when Order 66 goes down, Ferris kind of becomes an antagonist to Darth Vader, not knowing that it's Anakin Skywalker.
Interesting.
I love Ferris because he's a Jedi that survives Order 66 for at least a short time after that, interacts a lot with Obi-Wan, and also interacts with Darth Vader, and they're still nemeses as adults when they were nemeses as kids. It's so weird to
look
at.
Makes for a great story
in
that
way. It does.
Moving on to letter G, I have a pretty obvious alliterative choice, because why not? I went with General Grievous. Because you know what? I've always liked the character of General Grievous. Some people don't like that he coughs a lot or something like that.
He was a cool design for a character that wasn't well implemented in the films.
Unfortunately, yes, but in the books, he's actually implemented pretty well. I don't remember the exact series, but I like the character. He was one that back in elementary school and high school, I would always try to draw him. And I'm not very good at drawing. I'm so bad. But I figured out a way to do so.
He'd be a tough one to draw.
I would draw him out of Lego, and it worked much better.
Fair enough.
But that's how I had to do that. But I've always liked the character of General Grievous. I've always liked, among other things, his fight with Obi-Wan when he's actually using all four lightsabers. Now, that could have been cooler, yes, but for how well it was done, I liked that.
It was pretty impressive, all things considered.
And the music was really good, but it's John Williams, of course, so, you know.
Yeah. So for letter G, I went with Supreme Commander Gilad Paylan.
Okay, that's an interesting choice.
He shows up in the Heir to the Empire trilogy as Admiral Thrawn's second in command. And I mentioned on a
previous... I didn't actually remember that was his first name.
Yes, that
I only
is
think
his first
of Paylan.
Name.
That's a great choice.
That's why I got away with it for a G. So I mentioned this in a previous episode, but I feel like the relationship between Paylan and Thrawn is almost like a Watson Holmes thing.
I do remember you saying
that. With Thrawn being
and
like,
true.
Oh, it's elementary, it's so easy. And Paylan is like, wait, what?
I don't know what you're talking
and
about.
And then Thrawn has to explain everything to him.
And to the reader, of course.
And I love Paylan's character development throughout the series, though.
It's great.
As it progresses, because he starts off, he actually shows up in a couple of novels during the Rise of the Empire era, so like during the Clone Wars, you can actually see him in a couple of places.
As a young guy.
as a very young man.
Ooh.
And then he shows up again in the Heir to the Empire trilogy, and then he shows up again 10 years later in the Hand of Thrawn duology, where he's the Supreme Commander of the Imperial Forces.
I started reading those, but I only got partway through, unfortunately.
He's taken a lot of cues from Thrawn, in that he's now the one who's like, elementary, it's so easy, and it all makes sense if you think about it. But he's also a very unusual Imperial in the fact that one of the main plot points of that book revolves around him trying to make peace with the Republic. Which
right.
is not something you see a lot of Imperials doing, especially after episode 6.
All right, we're going to move on. We can't take too much more time because this episode is going to run kind of long.
This is going to be a long episode.
We might
have
to split this
part
through.
We may have
to
make a two-parter, but we'll keep you posted.
But moving on to letter H, this one doesn't require much explanation. I went with Han Solo. Did you do that as well?
Yes, I did.
Well, there we go.
Hard to beat Han Solo.
He's such an awesome character.
He's so freaking lucky.
Now, if you watch just the movies alone, you might not like him as much, or you might. It depends. But in all of the books, like there's the Han Solo trilogy, there's all of the books afterwards where he's married Leia.
Yay!
In the Legends canon, where he stays married to Leia versus in the episode 7 and 8, where I guess it goes differently.
Boo.
I think you got it right that time with the yays in the booth. But Han Solo is just one of my favorite characters. Just all of his interactions,
the way
he interacts with Chewie and 3PO.
he's built on the lovable rogue archetype, and it works so well.
He's such a scoundrel.
Even continuing through the books, I mean... Han is actually one of my favorite characters in the Yuuzhan Vong Wars, which is the New Jedi Order series, because of what happens between him and Chewie.
Interesting. I'll have to go back and look at those again.
That's a massive spoiler, so I'm not going to say it here because I've already spoiled enough things.
Moving on to letter I have, of all people, it's a droid, actually. It's IG-88. he was one of the bounty hunters that showed up in episode 5 when Darth Vader was talking. So, like, there's Dengar, there's Bosk, there's somebody that starts with a Z, Zuckus, I think.
Yes.
Before LOM. But then IG-88 is there. But you also see IG-88, or at least a very similar model, in one of the trash compactors in... Oh, it's on Cloud City, I believe. There's an IG-88 model that's hidden in there. Like, when Chewie is putting 3PO back together... And then he's like shooing all those little Ugnaughts away. You can see a model.
That's really cool.
Of IG-88 in that room as well. Plus, he's one of my favorite characters to use in Star Wars, Lego Star Wars: The Complete Saga, because he's
Lego
one of the few
Star
bounty
Wars.
Hunter characters.
I love Lego.
So he can
Star
open
Wars.
Up the green doors. You know, Boba Fett's slightly better because he has a jetpack.
Yeah.
And you can get one of those power bricks that gives him like a rocket pack.
Yeah.
But I like IG-88 because he's got the green door and he can open up all the droid doors. which makes him a special character.
Yeah, for real.
What do you have for I?
So I picked Prince Isolder, who's, again, another kind of lesser-known character. He's featured prominently in The Courtship of Princess Leia.
I remember that. It's been a long time since I've read
Prince
that book.
Prince Isolder. So it's the book, the whole premise of the book is Prince Isolder and Han are kind of fighting each other over who gets to marry Leia because both of them want to for different reasons.
Han and for true love and
Isolder
other guy
to secure a political alliance that will strengthen the rebellion. And
you can guess which
things.
One Leia wants eventually. Actually, if you we already mentioned which one happens.
Yeah, so. We kind of spoiled that. But Isolder himself is a really cool character because of his interactions with Luke in that book.
Interesting. I need to go back and reread
that.
He
and Luke talk a lot about the Force in that book. And Isolder eventually ends up kind of becoming a almost Jedi, even though he's not Force sensitive enough to actually be a Jedi.
But he like does some like practicing of it, like maybe meditation.
He starts trying to live in accordance with the Force, or in a way that like respects the Force, like a Jedi would. But
so
he's
if he did
not.
That, then he wouldn't be able to get married. So
That's been a little bit of a controversial topic in Jedi history.
Yeah,
wow, kinda Jedi history. I said that like it's a real thing
in the well-known Jedi lore that everyone subscribes.
Well, I mean, it's kind of in the title. We are geeks, so it was going to happen eventually.
Yeah. All right, on to the next letter. This one, I kind of cheated a little bit for the letter J, but I think I can get away with it because my favorite characters are Jason and Jaina Solo.
You did both of them.
Yes, because I couldn't pick between the two of them. And I feel like since they're twins and since they're, you know, they're both solos, they are the kids of Han and Leia much later in the series. So like in the Jedi Apprentice or Jedi Academy, they're like 5 years old or something. And then in much later series, they're actually going through training with Luke.
Yes.
But both of them are really awesome. They have a younger brother, Anakin Solo. Unfortunately, Anakin dies kind of young.
Yeah.
And Jason turns to the dark side.
Yeah.
But then is redeemed at the very end before he dies.
Maybe.
And Jaina actually
sure
has to fight him. And there's a whole bunch of plot story there and everything. But Jason and Jaina are just two awesome characters. Jason is actually, surprisingly, if you don't know the story, you wouldn't be surprised. But Jason is more so, he's in tune with, like, creatures by the Force, whereas Jaina is like the mechanic and can do all things like tinkering.
Oddly enough.
Except that then, of course, Anakin, the youngest one, is very, very good at like droids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he's even better at tinkering, but it just, you'd think that would be almost backwards, but it actually is really cool in all the stories.
Yeah.
So that's why I went with Jason and Jaina, because I couldn't pick. Plus, they're almost always together, except for, well you know, later.
Up
but,
until
yeah.
the New Jedi Order series, they're almost always together. So I had an easier time with this one because I could decide. I went with Jaina Solo.
Jaina. What's your rationale for just Jaina?
So people tend to make comments about Jaina within the universe itself that Jaina has her father's luck and her mother's snarkiness in one person. And
which
that
just sounds amazing anyway.
It's an amazing character combination, and it just makes me love Jaina.
I honestly couldn't
character.
Pick, but that is still
gosh.
A good reason. But hey, what do you know? We're kind of in agreement on
yeah.
that. All right, we're going to go enough. On to, we'll do two more, and then we'll wrap up this episode. So we'll have to do a part two for this one, because it's going kind of long.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the entire alphabet, and you knew we were going to stop and talk about all of these.
Yeah,
so.
It was going to happen. So on to the letter K. This one is a lesser known character per se. His name is Kip Duran. I don't actually remember what species he is. I don't think
he's human.
Is he really human?
Yes.
For some reason, I have an image of him as like one of those Martians from like the Lego universe, but I don't know. I think it's something else, but he's from, it's not the Jedi Academy trilogy.
Yes.
It's like, is it?
It is the Jedi Academy trilogy. That's where he shows up the first time.
That's right.
Because he blows up a solar system.
Oh, that's right.
Yay.
So this is the same universe as where we mentioned earlier, where Exar Kun was in the temple on Yavin 4, where they had to fight him at the end. Kip Duran actually was a student, but then he kind of goes rogue and becomes a villain, and he steals a super weapon called the Sun Crusher, which is this small ship with like... It's going to become a running gag, isn't it? Yay and boo in the wrong spot. But he steals a Sun Crusher, which is this little ship, but it's got armor that's like the atoms are closer together than they should possibly be, so the armor's invincible.
It's got super thick armor, and it also fires resonance torpedoes that can cause a sun to detonate, which is why it's called the Sun Crusher. Yay!
Yeah, and so he actually, but then he redeems himself, and he flies the Sun Crusher into a black hole, which causes a prototype of a Death Star, which they found in the middle of a whole bunch of black holes, long story, hence the trilogy.
Han, where did we park that extra Death Star?
In between all the black holes, I believe.
Whose brilliant idea was that?
No, but so he redeems himself, but then he hides himself in like a little message torpedo, which you shouldn't be able to fit in. And so he's
resulting in him breaking all of his bones,
all of his ribs, if not, and his wrists, I think.
Almost all of his bones.
Yeah. But he survives because he's picked up and rescued at the last second by, I think it's the Millennium Falcon, because they saw the message torpedo and they're like, oh, what are his last words? And surprise, there's Kip Duren hiding inside.
What?
He's a really cool character throughout the whole trilogy because he's basically the antagonist, but not actually, but he is. And he gets redeemed. His character arc is great.
He's a secondary antagonist again.
I want to mention this because this was a very close pick, but I picked Kip Duren just barely over Tennel Ka.
Interesting.
Who I can kind of pick, but Ka was her last name, so it didn't quite work.
That's close.
She's in the friend group of Jason and Jaina Solo, so it's a much later, like the later generation, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyways, who do you have?
I also picked Kip Duren.
Wow.
Again, because of his character progression throughout Star Wars history.
So since we had the same character, does it require much elaboration?
Mostly, I guess I can talk about Kip as more of an adult. So we actually meet Kip in the Jedi Academy trilogy. He's like all of 18. He's basically just a troubled kid who happens to be really strong in the Force.
Mm-hmm. Which is always a great combination.
And then later, as he grows up and matures, he turns into this fiery leader, especially during the New Jedi Order.
When you said that, all I could think of was, he turns into the Fire Lord from Avatar.
What? No, not Kip too!
No!
But yeah, he grows
up. That was the voice of Luke Skywalker, by the way. So there's a tie-in, sort of.
Interesting, unrelated trivia.
Back to Kip Duren as an adult.
Yeah, so he turns into this like really cool, charismatic leader and eventually ends up becoming one of like the more well-respected masters on the Jedi Council in his later 30s, early 40s.
Something like, as a really, really old guy of about 35.
Hey, who are you calling old?
And then on to letter L. We'll do the letter L, and then I guess we'll wrap up this episode and
L
we can do a part
last.
Two.
Last?
And I actually picked, so I couldn't bring myself to pick Luke or Leia. Sadly, even though I like both of their characters, I went with one of my favorite characters who literally shows up for like a couple pages.
This is going to be good.
And then dies. His name is Luke Skywalker. And he is the clone of Luke Skywalker that shows up.
Oh, you did it. You did
in
it.
In the Grand Admiral Thrawn trilogy. They found Luke's hand from episode 5 with the lightsaber cut off. And they were able to preserve it. And so Grand Admiral Thrawn actually, or it was either Thrawn. No, it wasn't Thrawn, actually.
It was Master Sebaoth.
It was Sebaoth who came across that and said, hey, can you guys actually make a clone out of the hand and make another Luke?
Palpatine takes weird trophies, apparently.
You could say that. He has a lot of weird trophies and a lot of weird books, including a whole plague. But that's another story. But so they made a clone out of Luke's hand, and so it's Luke, but with an extra U, so it's L-U-U-C-K, I know how
that's
to spell.
That's Luke.
That's a lot of luck. It's spelled L-U-U-K-E, because I can spell Luke Skywalker, basically, so it's a clone. So whenever Luke is fighting Luke, because they fight at the end of the book, there's a weird buzzing in his mind, because when you have clones next to each other and you have the Force present, everything is weird.
Apparently.
But if you block the Force with the Yusalamari or whatever those
Force-blocking creatures.
Yeah, if you block that, you can grow a clone in a couple days, but you just can't use the Force. So So he showed up for a little bit. He didn't really say anything except he yelled in pain because someone exploded a TV screen in his face.
As you do.
And then he died in like a cave-in or a light. No, Mara Jade killed him. Spoiler, by the way.
Who's Mara Jade? I've never heard of her.
Well, that'll actually be in the next episode.
And on that note.
But we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode here. So, Seth, what key do you think we should end this episode in?
Let's see. What key did we do last time?
I don't remember.
I think it was A-flat that we did last time.
It might have been.
Do you want to do G?
G?
Really
good
boring?
Old-fashioned G? Okay.
Ooh, all right. Goodbye.
We'll leave it unresolved.
I didn't know how long you were going to hold that.
You couldn't see my hand behind the
phone. No, I couldn't.
But there we go. We have it. So.
Hey, there's part one.
Hey.
We got through like a third of the alphabet.
No, we got halfway, didn't we?
Oh, wait.
Oh, M was
M was halfway. No.
Shoot, I thought L was. Okay, I know what I'm doing. Well, I mean. We'll be fine.
I can count, guy.
I know my alphabet and I can spell.
L-U-U-C-K.
Now that I'm feeling... I was going to bring up something about, well, if you clone Lando's ship, you get the Lady Luck. But
I wanted to put Lando as my L and then realized his name also started with L.
I kind of wanted to as well, but yeah. Wait, who did you go with for L? Did I miss that?
We didn't get there, actually.
Oh, shoot. I was not paying attention.
Boom, 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 boom.
It was a great transition, though.
It was a good transition.
We'll have to
remember. Have to start with L, my L on the next one.
Okay.